I probably don't need the mic. I grew up in New Jersey. I'm about to tell you all about it. I have a lot of local references in my poems. I won't bore you with too many of them, but just to start, I'll say 7-Eleven is our convenience store. And yeah, this is one side of a dialogue. The speaker is Thomas Aquinas. It's called Convenience Store Aquinas. 7-Eleven's a misnomer, like mind-body problem. They never close. The hyphen's a dash of form. Sure, this mind-body's a machine, if you want, plowing across town to the steakhouse. American Spirit, give us the yellow pack. No matches? This $1.59 Santa lighter, too. Big grab bag of Doritos. No, the engine is not separate. It's part of the machine. Sure, paper's good, container for recycling. Rain's no problem. I eat the Doritos. Smoke up, one for you. The chips are part of my machine. Matter inside matter. Smoke fires my lungs, gives me that slap of pleasure in my tailbone. Maybe stimulates a thought. I'm prime matter informed by the soul. No, I didn't just slip the word in there. That's a spade. It digs through bullshit. Lean close, under the awning. Cover up, you want a light. The mist can't decide if it's rain or fog. Streetlight moons, clouds around the neon signs. Pink is the steak we're heading for. I apologize to vegetarians. The comfort of a red leather banquette. No, your engine exists as part of and powers its machine. Separated, both are just scrap, bunch of gears, rusty sprockets, an unlit oven, unbaked potatoes, sour cream inside a cow, chives growing mostly underground. Engine is a bad analogy. I'm one thing, not two. No intermediaries. I don't have a body. I am one. A hollow one at the moment. What'll it be? Filet mignon? Slab of prime rib? Don't trim the fat? 12-ounce T-bone, 2 inches thick? No, I'll wait until after I eat for another. But you go right ahead. Here's a light. I grew up, and my family remains in New Jersey, in the industrial belt outside of New York City. A few of these local landmarks here, and some of the others in this poem, and in some of the others I'll read tonight. It's called Oil Tank Farm. My love and her gift of an oil tank farm, pitch-painted dock, series of locks, that slow chug up the Gowanus Canal on an old iron fish, quick flight over Newark's brick walls through Anheuser-Busch's blinking red A, foghorn creep and lights equivalent, the brewery's flapping white eagle, red neon wings in electronic parabola, never-ending circle over U.S. Route 1, Highways 1 and 9, a sutured, seamless road along the oil tank farm's hydra-headed pumps, many-eyed creatures, Argus unsleeping, or the watchdog's patron, Cerberus on a leash. This is the sign, Eagle A, Eagle A. That sign flies again over the nighttime sky of our own kids' childhood, the Circle A of Dream's anarchy. They're safe on love's loading docks, docks lined with container cranes, bright capital-intensive ship-to-shore cranes with ample storage space. We've shifted away from the conventional, the break bulk terminal. She's given me unprecedented maritime access. Every day I thank her, her gift of ports, this waterborne network, our flatbed boats, bulkhead slabs, the lifted and lowered train bridge, pilot shack with a hole in the roof where sun pours in, the seagull stands, osprey nests, high rising. Anticipating our unborn grandchildren, their kickball fields and handball courts, stickball backstops with strike zone boxes we chalk ourselves. In their playtime's backdrop, a painted scrim, an empty schoolhouse waits, and at night, the brewery's neon eagle conspires with sodium lamps, with brilliant silver towers and refinery fires to illuminate the gifts we leave, make well-lit channels to our oil tank farm. I live in rural New England now, far from industrial New Jersey, where I grew up. And that might put this in context. It's called the Church of Unrest. You hear my last name, okay, so that tells you one side of my family. And in where I'm from, seems like the Irish really like to mix. I'm half Sicilian, and I was recently at a dinner party with someone who was half Korean and half Irish, half another who was half Japanese and half Irish, another who is half Filipina and half Irish, and half Egyptian and half Irish. They put me to shame. This is called the Church of Unrest. My wife likes to call New Jersey the old country. Peterstown, Elizabeth, Price Street and Seminary Avenue in Rahway, that's it for you, she says, the old country. She's more than half serious. I grew up there with my mother's family from Sicily, Cusimanos, Catalanos, Frangimores, and Federicos. As it is with other emigres, my old country, my New Jersey, is gone, colonized by time and change, made unrecognizable by a tyrant present. I wasn't around to see it happen, to observe without noticing. I go back as often as I can, but I'm a shadow there, almost as out of place as I am in Sicily, even though I visit family in both places. Before Elizabeth and Rahway were from Agrigento, Akragas, an ancient Greek colony. According to my grandfather, our family house of worship began as an altar for Phoenician traders, sailors from the eastern Mediterranean, some of the earliest visitors to the island. Later, the Greeks raised a temple around that altar, offered their own sacrifices there. The temple was rededicated by the Romans, consecrated as a church after Constantine Christianized the empire, converted to a mosque in the time of Arab rule, and re-transmogrified into a Roman Catholic church under the Normans. Even if it is in the old, old country, I pass many days feeling very much like that building. Thank you. Wrong book. I have a little bit of a set list here that I'll try to follow. This is called Mike Devlin. The Arthur Kill is not a poorly named man, okay? Kill is Dutch for an inland tidal waterway. That was funny, wasn't it? Okay, so the Arthur Kill separates my hometown from Staten Island, New York. And Merck, do you know Merck? Do you get Merck here? The pharmaceutical company? Yeah, okay. Well, their plant was in this town. And while I'm on the subject, also the state maximum security prison where Reuben Hurricane Carter was incarcerated. You might know the Bob Dylan song, not Merck, like Hurricane, yes. Not Amelia, yes. All right, so this is called Mike Devlin, one of our local characters. Mike Devlin. The dairy light, he called it, in any weather when he delivered. Fog eddies from Arthur Kill, sun half an hour high over Merck, the morning divided by smokestack. Temper's teacup, a man's no more than a punter's error, he liked to say. He hummed Ave Maria through the baritone kazoo of tracheotomy, circus shadow of his church choir tenor. For kids, he buzzed the Yankee Doodle like electric razor, or flexed his arm and blackened ship tattoos dropped anchor under a war wound's purple chop. After the dairy cut his route, he became our oldest paper boy. Sack slung around his shoulder and cradled like a headless cello, we saw him more often, his walk in economic waltz. Warm afternoons, He propped a shoeshine box beneath the awnings of Troopa's Deli, bullied tips from all his customers. He slipped his gauze, pulled the patch off his blowhole, neck smoked a hot box camel to win the hardest cases. The night Mike died, men emptied out of Pete's. Knights, vets, legionnaires, sons of Italy. They parked a phonograph on the fire escape and played his 78s. Crackling Irish tenors rose along rusted, ivy-covered slats, zigzag ladder and window grills to sing us to sleep. Later, bottles dropped, a pipe burst, the record player smashed in the alley. Beat cops broke it up before morning twilight, his old delivery hour. Okay, I want to show you this, what this looks like, okay? I call them parallel poems or two-tone poems, and there's a poem in form flush left, free verse or prose on the right, and this one includes found text from the Xanax warning label. It's called Xanax, Theseus and the Minotaur. So I'll read the prose first. Suppose disappointment were a genetic predisposition. The dealer's deck having its way through a game of 21, 14, 16, bust. Where are the faces and aces, dangerous eights? Or take a bleachers full of dads, suffering an infinity of scoreless overtimes, a nil-nil tedium. When our children make us crazy, that comic inheritance. But children regenerate their parents, bring forth memorial versions, the recalled dad cut off at the knee and planted in the yard, a lawn jockey of a man. Easier to have sired a monster or been cuckolded by one. Live with your monstrosity apparent to all, than to be both monster and hero, parent and child yourself, a zero sum. Better to blacken your sails and hope your father sprouts a pair of wings than to drink great alcohol or grapefruit juice during treatment. Better to lead your son by a silver ring in his septum than to combine Xanax with anticonvulsants or antihistamines, macrolide antibiotics, or oral contraceptives. Side effects cannot all be anticipated, and some may be enjoyed, but will likely include memory loss, the black sails, chutes to the exit, dizziness, family history revealed, increased sexual drive, miss the shores of Naxos, ringing in ears, new syntax, weight loss, lover slash guide abandoned, general numbness, grow the vine of forgetting, nausea, press the wine of revenge, a state mimicking the earliest stages of love, or those first days of parenthood. And then this is the poem. Heroic furies, destructive jags, my bloodstream's in stampede, each cell's grown horns, my better works. Then Xanax sleep, full of Pacific dreams. If I can get ahead of anxiety, things seem worse than they are, remember. Resolute, I'll cross the river surrounding the city's maze, drink a few drops, and call it several names. I'd like to sever myself from self, everything else it can't stop craving. Eat hunger, no matter how many teeth its several heads might hold. Denounce all wit with convincing epithets. Plastic bottles wreathe my waist. My swimming's inspired, crossing electric. Past sluggish eels, slow carp, floating pike, hide like silver, glutes shining. Meds free, I arrive, euphoric with appetite. There's no one on either side I won't consume, and all resolutions seem contrived. All right, I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember George Michael's two-man band, Wham?
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay. This is, again, what the problem of children. They torture you with your past. Okay, my kids have been playing a lot of Wham lately. And I started wondering about the other one. Straight man in short shorts, man flats, eyeliner. Cap gun, guitar, white blouse, blow dryer. Skippingly circling endlessly. Always behind or beside, the same again, not quite. You know who I'm talking about, right? The other one? Not George Michael? Never up front, never the Greek, but working on it. More Tiber, near Nile, pop Alexandrian. The plainly less pretty, less talented one. The black-eyed, hesitant, not George Michael, nose-jobbed son. Club-jumped, their manager claimed. Tough guy, he lied. Old what's-his-name? Surprised some to learn he had one. He played at guitar, propped out. Andrew Ridgely, I looked it up. Flopped solo, crashed race cars, didn't he? Joke butt, most likely to be forgotten. Still fun to make fun of. Partnered up, though, Bananarama's Karen. Years now, surfed off Cornwall sets. Went green, impressed me. This is in the voice of the Green Man, which is an obsession of mine. Do you know what this is, the Green Man? You'll see it all over the world, but especially in medieval Christian churches, you'll see these carvings of a foliate head, a beard of leaves. Yeah, okay. Sometimes you see kitsch reproductions. I have one. Okay. The Green Man in April. There's no shade in this new world like the hemlock for settling the liver, uncoiling fish-shaped pancreas, or just forgetting. I trample paths through burdock, groom myself with crow's wing to cool my night sweats. When sunlight fixes me in place for daytime's lapse, I like to ground my limbs under the catalpa tree outside my wife's new office, branch above the stacks of papers there. Slow surge, I spread to see her stately hips and bum, long round thighs, her downward dog to cobra pose, the arc of sweat, ecstatic drops splattering on her yoga mat. After her evening jog, she rubs my trunk, stretches like ivy. She stops to sort me like a jolt of chlorophyll, her entire elegant fist stuck in my knothole, a secret place for keys and notes, old rings and diaphragm, wax figure of what I've become, photos of my younger face. All right, so I've got the green going. I'm working on this still, and I'll try. You're not an American audience, so I feel more comfortable trying it out on you. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, but I'm gonna pay myself back and read something that will be harder to read to you. All right, this is called Tutor to the Prophet. Tutor to the Prophet. At play, James kicks pigeon-toed, legs scissoring flared pants quick at the hips and waist, black high-top cons launching a loud pink kickball arc. Pang, over Nova and Impala, parked Firebird, ancient Valiant jacked up on the corner. From third, I can walk home backwards. Raphael scores. James sprints behind, black fist of his pick raised from back pocket. James at work we dub Ouija, mad smart at math and plants. Whole summer days pass and we can't find him. He's hidden in the library, spelunking the stacks, or tutoring his brothers. The signal he's back? We see the aftermath of his projects. He's window-boxed marigolds and basil, peppers and geraniums, two kinds of ivy, scented dianthus, shaded impatiens, or strung clotheslines across the back stairs in zigzags, maxing the surface area for laundry in the sun. Later, On that same back stairs sun porch, sheets sailing their lines around us, James, our Ouija, becomes Abdul Rahim. Malcolm's book presides, bedside the recitation, Quran. He debates Raphael on power, on the beautiful, hegemony and difference, black or Puerto Rican. The future for the three of us, inevitably separate. The apartment window soundtracks some incarnation of Clinton/Collins, but his mother, pinning her uniform before work, still overhears us. Ralph's hazel eyes, coffee-light skin, mine winter olive and sallow against the sheets. Couple of Catholic boys from suspect islands. Shit, jokes not James, nor Ouija, but Abdul Rahim. Should I just cut you two loose? Don't even kid, his mother says, opening the back door on us. In the Hollywood fiction of memory, recast as Julia, say, Diane Carroll, or Rosalind Cash. Volume rising, extraterrestrial, the hardwired guitar, Bootsy's synth-like bass, her braids gathered overhead in one hand, blocking the skyline of Merck Stacks, Rahway's sullen gray dome. You're going to do this thing, okay, commit to the book. But where you three go, let's ease back a bit, be circumspect. 30 years later, music down, clean laundry billowing, snapping, construction site on the corner quiet. Sometimes I slip back stairs, in conversation with her, with Ralph and Ouija, wondering aloud who'd listen, who'd object now, if she'd gone on or anyone had said, check the tutor to the prophet. His work runs green, like yours, Al-Khidr. His name means green forever. We fold up sheets. Bring them in behind her. So I said I live in New England now, so I think of other things sometimes. This is called Family Man in the Valley. We live in the Pioneer Valley. It's where the first English pioneers went, okay, once they started leaving the Puritan areas in Eastern Mass. Family Man in the Valley. Hang the shovel from a calvary of nails. Resist your own cross-examination. Ask the vine that creeps across the shed to press its own advantage, vinegar of envy. Approach child-rearing as a farm-to-table problem. Think organic produce, grass-fed beef. Or clap like sunlight, wave hands like clouds, simultaneously welcome and release. Scour the watering can caked with rust. Pluck last fall's leaves still skewered on the rake. Call the dangling branch widow maker. See who's first to wish it into firewood. This is Miguel Hernandez Green. He is the great Spanish poet who died in the Civil War. Even riding streetcars through Madrid, your wet roots showed, made running boards damp, the ticket takers slip. Everywhere, you brought with you a hillside restless with goats, the nightingale from the Levant. Birds sang joking through you all day. You climbed trees in city parks, shook loose golden leaves and green caterpillars, walked the undersides of clouds in rope-soled shoes. There's a line from Raphael Alberti here, sorry. The thunder came from long-range guns, and for you, lightning never ended. Blood shone common as light. You buried your dead. Who would be left, it seemed, to bury you? I'm old enough to be your father now, and I'd care for your wife, my daughter. Make son my grandson. Let me replace the father who abandoned you to prison. When you died there, your eyes wouldn't close. I'll visit with you in the woods each morning, where your head still throws off a sound of green leaves covered with flashes of light. All right. What is it? around. All right, this is the one that I said I've never read to anyone. No audience yet, no friends. And I figured it would be toughest to read for you. And that'll be clear in a minute. It's another parallel poem. Okay. It's called Family Story, So What, Dad? And I'll read Family Story, the prose part, first. In the family story, Dad's the first to college. Five kids and 19 years of three jobs later, he finishes a PhD. And shortly thereafter, goes solo. Our story starts in the New World several times, most recently with the arrival of his grandmother, Margaret Kinane, from Lisdoonvarna, County Clare. That town's heaven for singles, cash cow for matchmakers. Every September, thousands of seekers cross the petrified burren, coming from all over Europe, all over the world, to consult with marriage brokers. New days in the old country, recently the outing, a gay weekend, was added. Beautiful in its rain-washed way, the sun sudden on Norman ruins, Georgian stone, but still my love teases. Plaster cupids aim arrows over pub doorways. Neon hearts blink in shop windows. No surprise we ended up on the Jersey Shore. Margaret came as a domestic, 14 years old. She took the family's single boat ticket when her older sister lost her nerve at the docks. We called her the Pit Bull. Even I knew her. She lied about her age, but lived late into the 20th century. And we called her last husband the Pussycat. My father refused to go to her funeral, payback, decades after she jilted her first husband, the Hennessy, a bartender in Brooklyn, while he wasted in hospital, dying slowly from an ice pick in the eye. But that's only our most recent arrival story. My father's other grandmother was a Kettle, and her folks immigrated earlier. Recently, her family came to us to fill in branches in their tree, and there were a few surprises there. Grandmother Kettle's family owned farmland in Artane, were thick with Parnell even after O'Shea's betrayal, agitated in the land war, and suffered imprisonment at Naas and again at Kilmainham, ran guns from Belgium to the Irish Volunteers in 14. In the middle of it all is Tom Kettle, the only person James Joyce would talk Aquinas with, from Clongowes Wood right through to UCD, an MP, professor, and poet. Statue in Stevens Green. He died in 1916. Not in the Easter Rising, but at the Somme. He fought the Germans in an Irish regiment of the British Army and worried he'd be remembered as a traitor. In our family story, he never went to school or to war, never wrote a book, held a gun. We would have saved him from being remembered at all. And here's the poem. So what, Dad? So what if your father doesn't call you back? If you don't tell him about your raise, or the play your son wrote and directed, or even the high school stagehand who called him faggot and offered to beat him in the stairwell, your precious boy. Or the fury you stifled, your father's, to let him, as he insisted, handle his own affairs. And has he even had any yet? How you didn't call the principal, or better, park your car and wait after school for the punk to walk by so you could threaten him. Remember that childhood truncheon, your souvenir Mets bat? This is what you'll get if it happens again, in your quietest Jersey voice. So what if you kept and still keep shtum? Good for you and your Jersey voice, which after all isn't a Brooklyn Irish waterfront naze like his, but your own hangover from those days of keeping it quiet and mean and scared in the liquor store parking lot behind your old building after he'd shoved you back outside to fight your own damn fights. That milling of older kids from Shotwell Park you insisted on pitching to. So what if you lifted a chunk of the rotting tarmac and hit a kid older by a couple years in the neck with it, far as you could reach, So what if you came home bleeding through your crew cut and your father took you to Stewart's for a root beer float to celebrate? So what if he doesn't call you back? So what? Just as the sun rises on your son, he's proud of you. He's all orange neon diamonds and soda and sticky picnic tables and the hornets buzzing for you. Or text him, uncork champagne emoji.